Now, on Verulam in the morning, in the run-up to COP26, the big climate change conference coming up in Glasgow, we've been looking at ways in which all of us can make a difference and help to save the planet. Now, joining us today is Andy Tunstall. Andy is part of the Solar Streets Initiative, which Sustainable St Albans is involved in too. Hello, Andy.
Hello there. Hi, Nick.
Hi. Now, tell us a bit about Solar Streets then.
Yeah, okay. Well, Solar Streets is an offer that we have targeted at about 20 towns in the UK. And I think St Albans was about the sixth city that we aimed the scheme at. And basically, there are four things that defines what the Solar Street scheme is. First of all, it's an attractive price point, which we can get the price down because we effectively get a lot of customers to try and buy at a similar sort of time in a tight geographical area. The second thing is it is a quotation aimed at your individual house. So it takes into account your roof area, its orientation and so on. And it also looks at your usage of grid electricity at the moment to enable you to get an idea of how much electricity your solar system will produce, very much for your particular home. Third thing is, because you are saving electricity supplied by the grid, you are saving carbon emissions for yourself and for the area as a whole. And a typical solar system that we're installing saves just under 1 ton of carbon dioxide emissions per year. So that helps the town meet its carbon neutral objectives. And the final thing in the scheme is that for every installation, there is a donation into a community fund, which is £50 for every residential home and £100 for any business. And that money goes into a pot and eventually that money will be spent on a sustainable project, such as putting solar panels on the roof of a community building. So that's the four things that define the Solar Streets offer.
Right. Now, so this is all about basically getting solar panels onto our roofs, generating our own electricity effectively. Maybe some of it goes back into the national grid, and we can talk about that in a minute, but therefore reducing our carbon footprint and actually reducing our electricity bills too, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, tell us a bit about how you go about this then. So if somebody's listening at the moment, they're in kind of a typical, let's say, 1930s two-storey house in central St Albans or in Harpenden. How would they go about starting this whole process of, right, where do I get a quote and so on, and where do they end up? What do they have to think about before they start?
So what you need to think about is, do you have enough space on your roof to get a minimum of probably about 8 solar panels, which is each panel is 1 meter wide and 1.7 meters tall. So you need about 12 square meters enabled to put a viable system onto your roof. So and this has been the case in St Albans. We've had quite a lot of properties that have got dormer windows and things like that, which has meant that despite it being quite a large house, it hasn't got a suitable roof area. So probably that sort of minimum area of 12 square meters. And then the direction that the roof face can be anything from east through south to west. But if your only viable size roof faces north, we wouldn't recommend that you actually put panels on. But if you think you meet those rough criteria of roof area and the roof direction, then all you have to do is email your address and contact number to an email address, which I'll give you in a moment, which is info@iddea.co.uk. And that goes to Idea Renewable Energy Systems, who are the installation partner in the Solar Streets scheme.
Okay, so it's info@iddea, is that right?
.co.uk. That's correct.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that happens. Then let's sort of wind forward fairly quickly. There's presumably some survey work, that kind of thing. Panels get installed. Now, what about the practicalities of things like, well, where does the cable go to take it into my house? How does that all happen?
So the panels go onto the roof attached to the rafters, so they don't go through the tiles, and then you've got the choice, really. You can run the wires, normally the inverter, which is the thing that converts the DC electricity into usable AC electricity, is usually inside the attic space. So the wires from the panels go into the inverter, and then you've got a choice, really, of whether you run the wires down to the meter inside the house or outside. It really does depend on what works best for that particular household.
Okay, and so typically, I know it's very difficult to say typically, but typically what would you then expect to happen to your electricity bills for a kind of an average house with at least the 12 square metres, as you say? What would you expect to happen?
So the average size system we're putting on is in fact 10 panels. So that's got a capacity of 3,600 kilowatt peak, and that will generate something like 3,300 kilowatt hours of electricity per year, which is coincidentally about what a three-bedroom house would typically use. But the only problem is that the shape of the solar production is lower in the winter and autumn and higher in the summer and spring. And that's the exact opposite of most people's electricity use. Yes. Because people are using a lot of light in the winter and perhaps even some electrically powered heating or associated items. So you usually have the sort of situation where you are still net importing in the winter and autumn, and you're probably exporting in part of the spring and the summer months. And a typical benchmark figure is that for people who tend to be around the house all day, that they will use something like 37% of the solar panels output themselves, and then they will export 63% of it. The only thing that you can radically do, you can obviously change your behavior, so you can use all your heavy using appliances during the day as well. So you can get that figure up a little bit. But if you wanted to make a step change in the use of your solar powered electricity, you could install the battery storage option as well. And what that would mean is that the electricity is first of all used by your appliances, but if there's any spare, it then goes into the battery. And then when it's in the evening, when the sun's gone down and the solar panels stop producing, you use your battery electricity before the grid supplied electricity. And that could have a dramatic effect. You can probably get your usage of your solar panels up to about 80, maybe even 90% of the total production available from them.
And what are we talking about in terms of cost? Again, I know it's a little bit how long is a piece of string, but for that typical house, how much is the installation cost going to be before we start seeing those savings on the bills?
Yeah, so the 10-panel system starts from £4,100 under the Solar Streets scheme. And typically, if a household was to try and go and source an individual quote, it would probably be more like about £5,500 to £6,000. And that's because of the economies of scale of lots of people buying at the same time. So, yeah, you £4,100 for the standard solar system of 10 panels, and if you wanted to add a battery onto that as well, you'd add another £3,000 on to take you up to about £7,000.
Okay, and now we've heard a lot lately of how energy prices are going up, and when the electricity price cap comes off in April next year, that we'll all be facing higher bills. Does that make a difference to the economics of doing this?
Yeah, very much so. If you wind back probably 6 months ago, before anybody'd heard about these electricity price inflations, then we were sort of looking at that system that I described. If the householder was buying his electricity at 16p per kilowatt hour, which was a typical price, and electricity price inflation was going up by about 2.5% per year, then you'd get your payback on your system in year 11. Out of a 25-year investment, which sounds okay. And in fact, the actual internal rate of return, so the accountants describe it, of that would be about 8%. So even at those prices, it was still a good thing to do. But electricity prices have gone up quite dramatically. And we were chatting just before, and I said we'd just moved house. We were on 16p per kilowatt hour, and we tried to move with the same supplier who said that they couldn't honour our existing contract. And they gave us one option at 20p, which was a variable option. Or if we wanted a two-year fixed rate, the new rate was going to be 33p per kilowatt hour. So double what we're paying now. And as an extreme example, if we had a solar system and we went onto their new fixed rate of 33p per kilowatt hour, and inflation went up by 5%, which is, you know, still less than it has been, then in fact our payback would go from 11 years down to only 7, and the internal rate of return would go from 8% to 18%. So it's a really dramatic difference. So I would urge people, if they're thinking of doing solar panels and they might sort of say, well, there's not much sun around at the moment, I would be more interested in looking at what's going on with electricity prices and seeing how quickly they could start saving.
Okay, what about planning permission, that sort of thing? We do have conservation areas and so on. Are there some hoops that have to be gone through there?
A little bit. There's normally with solar panels, you don't need any planning permission, with two exceptions. One is if it is a listed building, and then you have to apply for planning permission, and depending on whether it can be seen from the road or not, you may or may not get it. With conservation areas, and we've tested this out in St Albans, the only thing you can't do is put panels on your wall facing a road. Now, we wouldn't recommend you do that anyway, to be honest. We'd always put them on the roof or on the ground. So as long as you are putting them on the roof, you do have to ask for planning permission, but it is usually given.
Okay. Right. Well, look, it sounds like an interesting, if you've got the capital to outlay, it sounds like an interesting thing to do. Any government support, anything like that, grants, that sort of thing that goes in this territory?
Not that covers St Albans, I'm right. afraid. there there are one or two patches in the country where you can actually get grants, but not St Albans.
Right, lucky us. Well, look, Andy, thank you so much for demystifying a bit solar panels and going solar. It's all part of the Solar Streets initiative. If you want more information and you want a quote, then it's info@iddea.co.uk. Andy Tunstall, part of the Solar Streets initiative. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
No problem, Nick. Thanks for spending the time.